Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
It is time for Ask Me Anything, the slot where we get to talk to a professional about their life and their career, and your questions are put to them. So today it's Frances Cooney, who is a puppy raising supervisor with the Irish Guide Dogs for the Blind. Good afternoon to you, Frances.
Afternoon. Thanks so much for having me.
A special day for Irish Guide Dogs as well. We just mentioned that earlier on. A big birthday.
Yes, 50 years. 50 years of Irish Guide Dogs for the Blind. And today is actually Guide Dog Day as well, which is being sponsored by Park to Travel at Dublin Airport.
Okay. And all charities need a sponsor. So brilliant stuff. You're out shaking buckets all around the country today, which is brilliant. Wonderful work that you do. And I think most people will be aware of how you've enabled people who have vision impairments, obviously, but also families of children with autism. I mean, it's a game changer, isn't it? It can change their lives.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, our dogs are superheroes, basically. Mm. And the bond that they create with the client at the end, so whether that be a visually impaired person or a child with autism, you know, you have your mobility aid, the independence that dogs give them, the confidence for the child, you know, and as well as, say, for someone who's visually impaired, just being able to, you know, have a normal life, being out, seeing friends, family, you know, just something as simple as going to the shop, getting your groceries, anything like that, things that we just take for granted, that this, you know, partnership of the dog with the person, these things are now possible.
Yeah, it's, you've just reminded me, the item earlier on we were talking about is the blue tags for parking, accessible parking. And it's the same thing again, isn't it? It's the stuff that we just take for granted. The dog can change that for someone.
Yes, absolutely. So say for, you know, obviously for someone who's visually impaired, you know, crossing, going through traffic, you know, being able to find the door, even for going into a shopping centre, that type of thing. You know, with the child with autism, a big thing that the dogs do is for road safety. They're actually, you know, attached to the child, just in case there was a chance that the child trying to bolt through traffic, that sort of thing, which obviously would be so scary for, you know, for the parents and for the child. As well, then just even for communication skills, a lot of the time, you know, the child feels so much more comfortable and confident being able to almost talk through the dog.
Yeah.
You know,
it's such a special bond as well. OK, I could talk to you all day, but we probably should go to the listeners' questions.
No worries.
So Sean has this question.
Hi, Frances. Are the guide dogs always Labradors and Golden Retrievers, or do you use other breeds?
So we mainly use Labradors or Golden Retrievers, but the most common is that we actually do a mix of Labrador cross retrievers, so that you're getting basically the best of both breeds.
Okay, that's interesting. And it's a great question, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Jenny is asking this one.
How long does an individual have their guide dog for?
It takes around 2 years for the dogs to be trained, and then when they're placed with the person as a guide dog, roughly they kind of can retire around 8 to 10 years of age. But really, it's a case by case basis, you know, depending on how the dog's doing and how the person's doing and everything like that.
Okay, so if the dog is placed, is it assumed that that's kind of home for life?
Yes, up until they retire. Now, once they retire, it kind of depends. Sometimes they stay with the families, or, you know, say if it's another family member can keep the dog, or, you know, sometimes that's just not possible for the person, or they need another guide dog. So we have an abundance of people dying to adopt our gorgeous retired guide dogs or assistance dogs as well.
And that is a family pet rather than a dog who does a job or provides a service, I suppose.
Oh, yes. Yeah. No, big time. They're like, you know, snuggles on the sofa.
Yes.
You know, yeah, walks, strolls in the park, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Gorgeous. Okay. Mark wants to know this.
Hi, Frances. Has a pup ever failed training where they've never qualified as a guide dog?
Good question. Well, first of all, we never say fail because none of ours are failures.
Okay, the language is key. Language is key.
Absolutely.
It is a good question, though, isn't it? It's not something
much
I'd thought of, actually.
Of course. So, you know, on the rare occasion that our guys just aren't suitable for one of our working dogs, so they would say they'd be withdrawn from the training program. But then we have other different lines of outside work that can they can work for. So we have our ambassador dogs who are, you know, helping out, spreading the word of Irish guide dogs there for our fundraising and everything like that. So they'll be the ones that you'll be seeing around Ireland today while we're, you know, fundraising for Guide Dog Day. And then we also have our companion dogs as well. And then on the off chance that then that doesn't work for them, they also then get adopted as lovely family pets.
Okay, brilliant. Someone says, I'd like to foster and train a guide dog. Is that possible? We have another dog and have fostered over the years.
Absolutely. So we're actually doing a nationwide appeal for puppy raisers at the moment. So that's kind of what we call our fosters, puppy raisers.
Right.
So what that means is that you would foster the pup from when they're roughly around 10 weeks of age. For the first year up until when they come in for training, further training down in Cork when they're around 14 months of age. So we would, my job is to support you and train you and train the pup for that first year. We would provide absolutely everything, you know, all the vet costs, you know, food, bedding, you know, all the walking equipment, everything like that. And you'd be getting, you know, monthly visits from myself and everything for helping doing the training and checking in with the pups.
So you actually go out to them and see the surroundings and evaluate it all?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So we, you know, you can apply to be a puppy raiser on our website, www.guidedogs.ie. And we do a little virtual home visit. And then after that, it's, you know, once you're fostering the pup, you'd always be supported by myself. And then as well as that, you would attend. We do our in-person puppy classes, and say then I'd be asking you to meet me out and about once a month, doing like practicing walks in shopping centres, going to a cafe, all these things that the dogs have to do in their day-to-day working life. So you're kind of trying to reenact those things from a young age so that they can get used to them.
Someone says, my son is autistic and would benefit from a support dog. Not sure where to start. Any advice, Frances?
So there's lots of information on our website. So I was saying it's guidedogs.ie. And our application process is on there. So there is a mailing list that'll alert you whenever the applications are open again.
Brilliant. Lee has this question.
Hi, Frances. Do you need to have animal handling to become a puppy raiser?
Really good question. Absolutely no need for any experience at all. So we have our puppy raisers. Some people are dog mad, have had dogs for their life. Some people have never had a dog or almost a little bit sheepish about having a dog in the home. We support you every step of the way in the process.
Wow, that's brilliant to know, actually, because I think a lot of people would be surprised by that. They'd think you'd have had to, you know, have close experience or, you know, lived experience of dogs in general.
No, not at all. And some people, you know, we have people applying for all different kinds of reasons. Some people just want to help the charity. Some people are possibly thinking of getting their own dog at some point, and this is a good way of kind of trialing it out. And some people then actually end up getting their own dog and continuing puppy raising at the same time. But they got loads of great free puppy training from us.
Brilliant. Sarah has this question.
Do the dog trainers ever have a negative experience in public places when training the dogs?
Not Sarah, but maybe that was Stephen, was it? Stephen.
Excuse me. So very rarely, to be honest. The public are so lovely. I think more and more there's such an awareness of, you know, the importance of, if you think about it, how are we expecting these dogs to know how to be going into a lift or being in busy environments, all that kind of thing, if they haven't been practicing it beforehand. So really, no, to be honest, the public is always so, so lovely. And we always have our lovely security guards, you know, giving us a wave or something like that, you know, whenever we come into places. So no, they're very rarely, thankfully.
Yeah. Can I ask you my own question, Frances, which is, you know, what kind of feedback do you get from families after having, you know, going from nothing to having this support dog for their child, maybe an autistic child? What kind of feedback do you get from, you know, how life changes?
Yeah, I mean, that is, it's really beautiful, to be honest, because it is, you know, especially with our puppy raisers, you know, they're so involved with the pups and they're so part of their family. But then when you get to see what the outcome is of all the hard work that they put in, you know, I have people that when you're talking to the families are saying, you know, we got to go out for a family meal for the first time ever because they were only comfortable with the dog there. Or, you know, they were struggling with going into school or therapy sessions or anything like that. And then just that they just opened up and it just, you know, changes their world, really.
It's a complete game changer for families, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
It really is. And you're doing wonderful work. It's heartwarming to hear it. And a very special 50-year anniversary today. So if you see those buckets shaking, give generously. That's Frances Cooney from the Irish Guide Dogs. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And continued gorgeous work.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.